welcome to another episode of the ISCN podcast, the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network. My name is Leah Hemmetsberger, and my guest today is Tiffany Davis. Tiffany Davis is a seasoned expert in data and data governance for cities and urban development. She served as an open data specialist at the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development, advised the city of Baltimore in the U.S., and currently directs the Johns Hopkins University Center for Government Excellence. She also leads the Amali Data Program, an initiative to help cities in Africa manage data for better urban planning and development. So let's talk about data governance in cities and regions. Hello and welcome to the ISCN podcast. I'm so excited to be here today with Tiffany Davis. Tiffany, very warm welcome to the ISC podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Tiffany, tell us, who are you and what do you do? Can you shortly introduce yourself to the audience, please?
Sure. So my name is Tiffany Davis. I am currently the inaugural director of the African Mayoral Leadership Initiative, Mali Data Program, at the University of Cape Town's African Center for Cities. And I lead essentially a research team of wonderful city data advisors, where we work with African leaders on the continent, mayors and governors, to really help them improve their data practices around establishing foundational data management protocols, procedures, and practices, as well as being able to effectively be able to utilize data in the decision-making process through the concept of performance management. So we work with leaders to really help them advance their strategic priorities, or what we like to call a legacy goal, for them to be able to improve operations, utilize data in the right way, and be able to upskill their city teams to be able to carry this work and sustain it moving forward, with all in the hopes of improving residents' lives and the overall quality of life. I have a long background in the data practices, working in government, as well as in academia, providing coaching and technical assistance to government leaders across the world to really help them improve their data practices, what I like to call a data maturity model. So all with the concept of really being able to upskill government employees in public sector and workers at large to be able to go from good to great in their practices, but be able to become good data stewards of data and be able to make their lives better when it comes to the work that they do with various positions that we have in government. And so just think of me as a coach and trainer that really focuses on upskilling and being able to provide skills and technical assistance to those public sector leaders who are in some really tough jobs and really focusing on big programs to be able to deliver services in the best mm-hmm. way to residents. So I'm the coach and trainer on that side.
I love that. I mean, we spoke in preparation of this podcast a while ago, and I was so impressed actually by your experience of working with data and specifically with local governments. And you basically bring over a decade of experience already working with data, open data, data governance in sort of the city context, but also mm-hmm. in state context. And what I'm wondering is sort of what is the most significant change or development that you've seen since you started working on the topic of urban data?
Yeah, absolutely. I have definitely seen a change. I think we will always consistently see this change throughout the years when it comes to the approach of utilizing data and also managing data. When I entered the field, it was around the time of the start of the open data movement. And so that you saw a change of a lot of the public sector really trying to find a way to open data up to the public, particularly data that government had essentially collecting data on people, but making it more readily available and accessible to not only residents, but academia and other various stakeholders. And so with that, you came right before that movement came performance management. And performance management has been around for a number of years. There's many different performance management models from Lean Six Sigma to a STAT approach. It varies. There's just so many different models just to go through. But what you have seen is that a lot of public sector with the adopted performance management really didn't take the time to focus on the foundations of data management. And so open data, being in the space to open that data up, it forced the industry to really think about foundational data management protocols. And that is when I entered in the field of the space of, okay, we have this directive to open data, but what is the best way to do that appropriately mm-hmm. and making sure that we have data, like we're not releasing public personal identifiable information, which is PII, or other sensitive information or confidential information. So that kind of like helped us to really think through what are good data management protocols? How are we upskilling employees or in public sector at large about what are those different protocols that needs to be put in place to be able to get good, clean data and then also open data in the best way for decisions to be made and for residents and other stakeholders to have access to it. So in the time that I've entered government from that particular open data movement up until now, I mean, we see the significance of significant change in just how data is readily available, whether it's through an mm-hmm. open data platform in its raw form, where you can just download data sets and be able to conduct your own analysis, which is amazing for academia, students, journalists, you know, just the public at large, to being able to have data. We have more refined dashboards, as that information is now more readily available, where, you know, folks can create their own dashboards based on different views and topics that they're really interested in, or making a different analysis, or those types of figuring out different ways, those connection points when we're talking about generating insights, that is more readily available. Now we're in a space of, we've had a lot of data open. Sometimes it's like too much data. It's never too much data, but it's open. It's like, okay, well, we have dashboards, which I use the concept death by dashboards, but it's how do we really create good dashboards that are effective and that are easily digestible to the public at large, and not just creating a dashboard just for a dashboard's sake, essentially. So we're in a space where we have to really train and upskill not just public sector industry, but also residents and other stakeholders to properly utilize data and be able to generate those key insights in the best way. So I think it's just an upskilling approach that we have seen has changed since the open data movement. I will also say with the rise of artificial intelligence, we are now in a space where we have to make sure our data is manage very well to make sure that we have we're getting good AI products and outputs from this particular from this particular new area of space that we're in when it comes to the maturity model of how we're utilizing data, just to make sure there's no bias, we have good ethics around that. So all of it, anytime it moves in the industry, whether it's artificial intelligence, open data, or whatever the next big thing will be in the future, at the core of it will always be the foundational data management practices. How are you storing your data? How are you collecting your data? What are the data standards that you have in place? What are the different protocols to make sure you have good data quality to be able to generate those insights, whether it's through AI or other analyses or maybe predictive analytics? Whatever it is, the core foundation is foundational data management practices. So since it has evolved over, since I've started from the open data movement now to artificial intelligence and also performance management, the foundation is always going to be there. So I think for me as a coach and trainer, it doesn't matter what the topic will be in the future, the core and foundation will always be the foundational data management practices to get everyone ready for the next big wave of what the change in data practices will look like.
I mean, this resonates so much with what I've been also seeing sort of in my interviews, but also in daily life, in my day-to-day job as well. And I'm just so curious to understand a little bit better from you and from your experience as well. So these data management practices, data governance structures, you said it, they are the foundation for everything that is already there, but also yet to come. But so many cities and towns and regions, they don't have these structures in place. Do you have an insight why that is not the case? Is it just the lack of knowledge?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. I think it's honestly just, you know, lack of knowledge as to when we talk about data, just what that is. From my experience of working with cities across the world, it seems to be like the same sentiment around when we're talking about data as just being an IT or information technology issue, or those who are in the computer guys or the computer women, they're the ones who just take care of it. And it's not. I think sometimes when you see data, it's just like this foreign thing, and not understanding that we are all data stewards, no matter what position we are within the organization. You could be a frontline worker. You could be the mayor or the governor. At every level, we are all data stewards of this data, whether we're collecting the data, reviewing data to make a key decision, or analyzing the data in a particular way. We all have access to this information. And so once, you know, we kind of go through that process of just understanding what my role is when it comes to data as relates to my position within the organization, people then begin to realize and break down those barriers of, or, you know, kind of de-silo when we say that data is an IT issue. They begin to see themselves. So that is a lot of the work that I do since I've entered, started in the open data movement and working in government as an open data initiative specialist, was just breaking down those barriers of seeing, helping public sector folks really see themselves in this work and not see it as just someone else's job. No matter what, how the organization is set up to actually conduct data practices or govern data, it could be within the IT department if it makes sense in that space. But remember, those IT folks need support because they are siloed. And so they need those decision makers to really see themselves in the work. So we do a lot of that when it comes to breaking down those walls or barriers. So again, it's the lack of knowledge of just not understanding how they see themselves in this work and not just thinking that it's just a one person or one particular unit or department that is responsible for this, but that these practices has to be embedded from the very beginning that a program is being designed or being thought of. You know, when you design a program, you're not just looking at like the goals and setting up, you know, the goals and figuring out what the different strategic priorities are for that, but you're figuring out what are the back-end infrastructure. How do you know that this program is doing well? How do you know that this program is being successful? You need to collect data. You need to establish key performance metrics. And then that goes into, okay, what types of data do we have available to establish these key performance indicators? You know, will, how often will we collect this data? What data do we have available already and what data is needed? So now we're talking about a data inventory. So just connecting these data, foundational data management practices to program design and delivery kind of gets public sector folks into the process of, oh, okay, if I have this mission or this strategic priority to improve our solid waste management services, I need to do some back-end design and think about all the various different inputs and data and people and stakeholders that are part of this initiative to help me in this effort. So we kind of, we build the data practices within that design effort so they understand that from the very beginning to the end, we are able to have these good practices in place. So that's also goes into how we kind of do our coaching and technical assistance in the AMALI data program.
All right. So it sounds also like you're taking a lot of fear away from this specific topic of data or technical issues.
Absolutely.
It's quite interesting because I've never heard this specific way of, you know, it's a tech issue, so I'm not going to deal with this. But it makes a lot of sense to me now that you explained it like this. What I'm wondering as well, with all your experience, from what I've read and what we talked about, is you worked with 100 cities in the US and the Americas, in Africa with the AMALI program, and we'll get to that later in a moment. We'll talk specifically about the AMALI data program. I'm curious to hear from your perspective, like, is there an additional or is there one specific common challenge that all these cities are facing when it comes working with data? So not just what you just explained, but maybe something, you know, quite obvious for you.
No, thank you. Prior to serving as director of the AMALI data program, also director of the Bloomberg Center for Government Excellence at Johns Hopkins University, where I also led the coaching and technical assistance teams on various programs, providing service delivery. I will say this, doesn't matter where you're from, what city that we're working in. I think the common denominator is that, and the challenge is that everyone wants to utilize data to be able to inform a decision, but just don't know where to start. You know, a lot of the cities that we work with say, you know, I know the data is there, but I don't know where it's located. Or we don't have it organized in the best way to be able to generate a particular insight or give us a new understanding of an issue. And let's be honest, a lot of the cities every city has like the same reoccurring challenges. There might be a new challenge. I mean, during the pandemic, that was a very new challenge for the entire world. And so we saw data in action where folks were able to say, oh, I didn't have this data, but now we have this massive data sharing. And now we're able to pinpoint the number of infections or how we're dealing with equipment and providing services and make some key decisions. So I think even with that particular new challenge that happened within the past 5 years, we've seen this collective notion of, okay, I need data to be able to address an emergency issue and be able to upskill myself. So when we talk about the common denominator, no matter what the location is, I know the data is there. I just don't know how to organize it in the best way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where data governance comes in, which again is the foundational data practice, data management practice of this work. And so that is a collective shared understanding across the entire world. Just how do we govern ourselves? How do we get ourselves organized in the best way to build up these practices? And so that is the beginning of this work, again, demystifying the term data, creating good data stewards and helping those individual folks find themselves. But then the next step is how do we collectively bring these organizations together to be able to govern the data accordingly? And so we take it from, everyone has had some type of task force or some strategic planning session where they've had to, do this work to create a new program or solve another particular issue. We do the same for data practices. And it's the concept of data governance, which is a collective group of folks within an organization that is tasked with governing data and being able to make those key decisions and establish policies and procedures about the new way moving forward when it comes to utilizing data within the organization and then managing the data. So it's how we're collecting the data, how are we creating data standards, how do we have data quality procedures in place to make sure we have good data coming in? Mm-hmm. How do we handle data sharing? It could be also, how are we handling ethical issues? How are we handling artificial intelligence now? How are we handling the use of dashboards? How are we communicating or working with the public in this? So there's various different ways how data governance committees, this issues that they tackle, but it's pretty much all the same when it comes to how we're managing, collecting, cleaning data, and then utilizing data for decision making.
Yeah. So ideally, when I understand you correctly, that would be a team of people, folks, that would work across domains, across departments to really just focus on this topic and bring it into the different domains. Like you just said, like data sharing, data cleaning, dealing with all the topics that are yet to come, foresighting a little bit. So that would be, in the ideal case, a central team. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And in some instances, there is a chief data officer. Mm-hmm. I think that position now worldwide is something that has been established within the past 10 years. Chief data officers, and sometimes even before then, we had director of performance management. So you'll see typically those folks in those positions, if a city does not have that position, they have someone who's acting in that role, essentially just without the title. It could be a chief of staff or head of IT or, the case varies based on organizational structure. But yeah, absolutely, those positions for sure.
So one person, at least one person with a central responsibility to handle data.
Exactly, yeah, and managing a collective effort, a team of folks.
Ideally, a team of folks.
Yeah, communication, like even sometimes communication folks are like, do I need to be here? Yes, you do. It is communication. So yeah, it's a collective effort for the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of effort. This is also what I hear from those people I know also working within cities to convince and to sort of make the case for data, for good data, for using data. What I'm also wondering, if you came across these situations where cities or city representatives always, because, there's people working in city. Mm. I'm curious to know if you heard this argument like, yeah, we would love to, but we don't have the time, we don't have the resources. What do you respond to those people then? Like, how do you try to support those the best way?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I hear it all the time. My first response to that is it doesn't cost anything to establish foundational data management practices. It's really just organizing yourself and embedding it into how you're currently operating. So again, going back to the value add approach is the first thing that I always say, going back to how they see themselves. I'm not in the business of selling anything. I'm a horrible salesperson. But, you know, once I take them through the process of, okay, if you are a mayor or a governor and, you know, a crisis happened, what would be the first thing that you would ask for to solve it? And, you know, oftentimes they're like, oh, I'll go to my advisor or this or that. Okay, we go down. Okay, what does that person need to be able to help assess or evaluate what are the next steps to take in a particular situation? And oftentimes the first things they will say is, oh, I need the data. Okay, well, where do you have the data readily available to do it? And they think about it and like, oh, okay, you're right. So I need to focus on this. You know, it never fails that a lot of our leaders want real-time data, you know, and you know, especially when we have, you know, it happened in the open data movement and, you know, dashboards and, you know, now artificial intelligence. Everyone wants to adopt these new technologies and just new advances, but we have to be prepared with the foundational piece. And so it just goes back to that. You know, I don't really have to sell it. They're just like, okay, I know we're not operating in the best way. So what are the next steps? So once you just go through that, you know, it does not cost anything. What it does cost is for you to take some time to really think through how you should organize yourself. So after a couple of brainstorming sessions, just what is the best way for you all to do this that is less intensive for you? You know, how are we building these practices within existing meetings? So, you know, if we have a mayor or an executive lead who has like a routine meeting with all of their executive team, you know, why don't we just add an agenda item about data management or data governance? What is the key thing that we're focusing on this month or this quarter or maybe this week? You know, what is a particular data challenge that we need to focus on that requires there to be an extra level of governance that needs to be established citywide or countywide or even statewide? You know, so those are just some quick things and quick lessons that we can quickly go through to kind of get that baked into current processes. But no, it does not cost a new fancy tool or software to do this work. It's just really how are you collectively organizing yourself to just be in a space to discuss the issues at hand and make key decisions.
So from what I'm understanding, it's all about sort of making small step towards, you know, exactly, including it in daily routines also.
Absolutely.
So don't be afraid to take it on. It sounds big, but actually it isn't. It can be broken down into small steps and pieces.
Broken down to small bites, bit by bit, to be able to move forward. But also we're talking about sustainability. So the fact that you take it slow to knock out those, you know, maybe like low-hanging fruit challenges to get to the bigger initiatives, it really helps public sector leaders and staff be able to work through it and see it and take their time and like, okay, I see it. And they're building their own practices and skills. So it's like, okay, I see what's happening. Let me think creatively about this collectively. And so we have seen a lot of the change in behavior around data in this work worldwide. And it's really a sight to see. So I'm really excited to see what the next steps are, particularly around artificial intelligence. As we all know, that a lot of cities are trying to adopt various different technologies to help them, AI, to be able to help them improve city service delivery. So it'll be really interesting to see how this moves forward and being able to increase and enhance practices on the individual level as well.
Definitely. I'm also quite curious to see where this is going. So now coming a little bit from sort of the foundations of data governance and what's important for cities and regions to do, I would like to look a little bit closer towards the Mali Data Program that you've already mentioned in the beginning. Mm-hmm. As you said, you're the inaugural director of the Mali Data Program. It's the African Mayoral Leadership Initiative for data. And can you tell us a little bit more about the program? What is it? What's the aim of this?
Sure. So the Mali Data Program is a coaching and technical assistance program to really help leaders advance their what we call legacy goals, their priorities, and establishing foundational data management practices. Again, we're a team of city data advisors who are really worked in and with government in their previous background and experience. We have an artificial intelligence machine learning expert as well, someone who is coming from the field of community engagement, research practices, and then also the technical background of like working within government and performance management and building dashboards and other analytics. And just to give you a makeup of the team, all of us collectively, it's a good, well-rounded team for how we do this work. You know, when we talk about community engagement, it's how you're actually effectively working with your internal and external stakeholders in this work. So it's not just always the hard technical skills, but also the soft skills as well. And we are dispatched throughout the entire continent to work on a one-on-one basis with these executive leads in their city team. So typically about 5 to 6 folks who are dedicated, giving their time to really help think through what is a good data governance structure, building performance management practices around the lead executive's legacy goal that we should tackle within a 8-month engagement. And so how we do our work is we work with cities on a one-to-one basis, on a weekly basis for about an hour. Through Zoom calls, we conduct site visits. We hold in-person and web-based training sessions, not just for the core teams, but also for other folks throughout the city that the team wants or the mayor wants to have them upskilled in this work. And we're focusing on all things foundational data management practices. So let's break down what the actual challenge is. How do we know it's a challenge? What data go through a process we call data inventorying to identify what existing data is available, and then what data is needed or missing that we can get and help create new data collection protocols to be able to get that information. Then we go through a process of selecting key performance indicators based on the available data that the city has, go through a process of cleaning data. So we take them, and this is a coaching and training, so this is the city doing this for themselves to be able to upskill themselves and also sustain these practices. And then we help them build a dashboard or data reporting tool, because every city is not in a space to create some type of web-based dashboard, but a data reporting tool is something that can be done is simply in Excel. And I think so when we say, you know, what are some low-cost ways for us to be able to do this work, we're very intentional about building data practices based on the city's current infrastructure. If they don't have certain software or packages, that doesn't count them out to do this work. Let's take it back to the basics, and we can build beautiful dashboards in Excel and be able to show them how to input data, how to design it, how to create, showcase the right key performance metrics, have supporting metrics around a particular area, really thinking through how we are monitoring and evaluating the strategic priority in a way for the executive lead and the team to be able to see data in on a routine basis. And then we come together and help them launch a performance management routine of their choosing, because there's different types of performance management programs. But essentially, the basis or the foundation of performance management is just coming together to review data on a routine basis with the executive lead and all the other available stakeholders related to the strategic priority to make some key decisions. So if it's improving solid waste management, it's how are we effectively doing this? Are we hitting the right targets? Do changes need to be made? What are their challenges internally or externally that needs to be solved pretty quickly? That goal is that whether it's a biweekly meeting, monthly meeting, or quarterly meeting, that there are some decisions that are made by the end of that meeting, and then it goes back into an iterative process of the team working to make those next steps and solve it, and then get ready for the next performance management meeting of collecting data, monitoring, evaluating, and preparing for the next grouping of these leaders. The AMALI Data Program is a subset of the AMALI Initiative, which is an essentially executive leadership program for executive leads across the continent. Think of it like a cohort to be able to receive assistance based on their legacy goal. And that is led by Edgar Patirsa, director of the African Center for Cities at the University of Cape Town. The data program itself is a specific track under the overall executive leadership program, where we work with a subset of those leaders to really take time to dig down into their legacy goal and walk them through the process of these practices and help them with sustainability and establishing protocols. So that's in a nutshell what the program is for the data program. We've been in existence since 2023. We're in our second cohort. Just to wrap that up. And next year, 2025, we will have our third cohort. And so far, we've worked with about 25 cities in the Amali data program so far. Both were focusing on performance management and data management practices.
That's quite impressive, Tiffany. So 25 cities at the moment, two cohorts, and the next one is already selected, or is there currently an application process out for the third cohort?
So the third cohort, there is application process in place where African Center for Cities leads that effort to be able to select these leaders to move into the program. Currently underway.
Okay, fantastic. And from what I understand, so this is, a lot of work, a lot of coaching. Is this done over a period of 1 year then, or is it like a longer period of time?
Yeah, so we work with cities over a period of 1 year where we're providing that intense coaching and technical assistance and training support. And then we don't leave the cities right afterwards. Right after we end, we start another year of aftercare support. We find that as a very crucial time of our cities that we work with to provide additional support and services. So ideally, we would like all of our deliverables to be completed by the end of our program. But we also know that things happen. Sometimes we're talking about moving and change, organizational changes. When it comes to data practice, it takes a little bit more time. So aftercare support is in place where we work with all of our cities for the next year to really help them continue to embed these practices. And I can tell you that has been very successful for all of our cities who have been through the program, completing key deliverables by the end of the initial 1 year engagement and then getting prepared for the aftercare support. And we work with cities to really tailor what that support looks like, just like we do in the 1 year engagement, really thinking through, okay, so you've gone through these practices, completed these deliverables. What are some best ways that we can help assist you to be able to sustain and continue to embed these practices into your current, into the way you do your day-to-day business? And that aftercare support looks like we work with cities on a monthly basis for check-in calls for up to an hour or so, even more. We do tailored training and training and technical assistance based on cities' needs. We also have utilized our aftercare support to observe launch performance management programs where mayors and their teams want us to observe how they're doing things and provide tips and feedback for how they can improve in their practices. We've helped continue to build out and enhance their dashboards. So cities who might have started in Excel have been able to move to more web-based platforms, Power BI, Google site. It doesn't matter. They really saw the need to be able to continue to move forward in that, maybe publishing their dashboards or even helping them think through what are some different strategies or interventions for them to help them achieve their legacy goal with establishing new partnerships or seeking funding, things like that. So we're really a full service, a team in helping them really move forward. For instance, the first year we've just completed aftercare support with our cities as of this year, and we'll have some check-ins with our cities, but moving forward into continue to work with them by establishing different thinking about different interventions and establishing new partnerships and seeking funding for those who have really established their practices in the past 2 years.
Nice. I really like this long-term sustainable approach also to managing data within the Amali data program. You mentioned legacy goal a couple of times, and I'd be curious to hear, what are these type of legacy goals? What are we talking about here? Can you name us some examples?
Yes. So the legacy goal is something that established by the Amali initiative itself. Each mayor, governor comes in And they are asked what kind of legacy that they would like to leave behind. And so that is the core curriculum of the Amali Initiative. And, you know, as the data program, we work with those executive leads in their cities to really provide some enhanced support for them to help them achieve the legacy goal, which is essentially a strategic priority. There's so many different names or whatever we could call it. But it could look like improving solid waste management. It could look like improving public health services. It could be thinking about unemployment rates and reducing unemployment. It could be an economic development issue or improving housing quality. It pretty much ranges based on what the executive lead wants to focus on and what are some top of mind priority or challenges of the city given that particular time. So think of it as an intense drill down on that priority area or issue. And thinking about what the short-term, intermediate, and long-term interventions could be done to help achieve that particular goal.
Nice. And have you ever had the case where you had a legacy goal defined together with the executives of the city, with the mayors, and the team, you know, found out that there's no data to measure or to sort of look at it? Did you ever have this case?
So I think all of the cities that we have worked with, there's data available. I think what we have seen is that we have seen the need for data sharing agreements, particularly with national offices or national statistics offices, or being able to establish data sharing with maybe NGOs or other organizations who work with the city. And this is a situation that happens in any city across the world, where sometimes cities are in a position where they give data, but no information is given back to them, essentially. And so, you know, data sharing agreements are really crucial in this case to really think through what that looks like. So cities are able to get good data and be able to think strategically about their various different priorities. I think, you know, going through the data inventory exercise of just asking and doing some brainstorming of what data do I have available and thinking through it by department, by program, you get to assess that there's a lot of data that is available, but then there's some data just based on different collaborations or partnerships where it's not really clear on maybe who owns it or how that information is shared. And that is something that we're like, oh, we need to like have a meeting and think through what that that data sharing mechanism could be to be able to share appropriately with both parties. And I think, you know, collectively, there's also census information is really crucial. And so that's something that, you know, we do take time to really work through and find different data sources to be able to get the most accurate information available. And there's, you know, other organizations or partners who are really thinking through this as well when it comes to key performance indicators at a city, countrywide level. And so we're in a space where we have that visibility into seeing what those different data sources are and being able to collect that information on the city's behalf to help them generate some key insights.
Fantastic. And I think data sharing agreements is also a nerve that you hit with me here. Yeah. This is also something I think that many cities, as you said, like around the world, are not aware of, that there is so many data sources they can tap into just by asking for it, by knocking on people's doors and just signing an agreement. Do you also then within the Amali data program sort of provide templates for data sharing agreements, or is this like a case by case?
No, we provide templates on all the work that we do, data sharing agreements to data inventorying templates to help you brainstorm the process, to templates on how to create key performance measures, selecting the right measures, breaking down strategic goals to make them more measurable and targeted. It's not just to say, oh, I want to improve solid waste management, but what is a time frame? What is a target? What is a specific intervention that you're looking at? So we have provide templates on all of this as well. And I just want to also highlight the Bloomberg Center for Government Excellence at Johns Hopkins University, which is one of the leads in this work. My colleagues there have an entire resource that's available and free to public sector employees. It's called GovX Academy. It is an online self-paced instructional, and as well as you can learn with other folks in this space as well, where we have facilitated instruction and workshops. So feel free to go to GovX Academy at JHU to be able to access those free courses and online templates and sources and all of that other good stuff. There's some really great material there to kind of get started in this work. Information is courses are translated in Spanish and French, and so it makes it more accessible, and I'm pretty sure we'll add some additional languages in the future.
Awesome, thank you. You basically already went ahead of my last question that I have for you, Tiffany. But maybe you have an additional recommendation besides for cities to go to GovX and to the Bloomberg Academy. What is your one recommendation for a city or a regional office or a town that wants to get data management right? Yeah. What should they do first?
Absolutely. I would say that, you know, one, see yourself in this work and think of yourself as a data steward. As you're focusing on your own individual skill set and how you show up in this space is going to be the biggest hurdle, I should say, just to be able to get the right team in place. But I think that also for cities to be able to do this work really well, you need an engaged executive lead. We cannot do this work without the mayor or the governor really being intentional and being at the forefront of this space. We're not asking for mayors and governors to do any analysis or be behind a computer in that, but be an engaged leader who asks the right questions and put the right team in place and empower them to be able to do this work. You know, when we talk about data practices, it is a behavior changes, organizational change, and so that in itself needs executive leadership to be able to move this work along. So when processes and protocols are set in place, you know, they can help spearhead and communicate that to the entire city organization. It never fails that the most successful cities who do this the right way have an engaged leader who is at the forefront of this work and is saying that as a mayor, as a governor, I am, you know, doing this to help myself make better decisions or help have the team have better data on hand to be able to make the better decisions and be able to be more transparent about how we're doing things, improve engagement with our residents and for the residents to have an insight as to what's happening when it comes to city service delivery. We've seen that with the mayor of Masaka, Uganda, Mayor Florence Namayanja, who is such an intentional leader in this work. She really understands the importance of having a team, being empowered to do this space, to do this work and be able to move this work forward to help her with her particular legacy goal of building a healthier and clean and green Masaka city. So, you know, if we have more executive leads who are in that space of just engaging with their data governance committees and their teams to be able to do this, everything else will be in place. It takes time, but everything else will be set in place for sure.
Thank you so much, Tiffany, for sharing your insights. And to everyone who's listening, with Mayor Namayanja from Masaka in Uganda, we also spoke to her. I had the pleasure of speaking to, and she really and truly is one of these leaders that is engaged and is trying to do the best for her city. And it was such an inspiring conversation with her. So everyone who wants to know more, just dive into this podcast then as well with Maya Namayanja. But Tiffany, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about data governance, data foundations, to talk about the Amali Data Program and to share your expertise and your knowledge with the ISCN podcast. Thank you so much, Tiffany. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Really appreciate the conversation.
My main takeaway from today's conversation with Tiffany is, no matter the resources at hand, do get started with small steps to improve your data governance. And be an ambassador, a data steward for your local administration. And should you not be able to find the data needed within your administration, have you tried third parties like NGOs, companies, or academia? Usually, with a data sharing agreement, you'll be able to get more data than you thought would be possible. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the ISCN podcast, and hear you next time.